First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network. All LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com, where you can go for all the latest podcasts of this show and any stories that we've got going on. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, please join our email newsletter, and we will send updates direct to your inbox on a weekly or a monthly basis. We're not going to spam it to death. And if you'd like, we would appreciate if you join our RSS feed as well. We will make sure that all the radio shows get delivered to you, as well as reminders of our live shows Sunday through Thursday right here on this network at 7 o'clock. If you're so inclined, we can certainly use your help. Always sounds like begging, but we tell you every show, please donate if you can. A little donate tab right there at LouisvillePolitics.com on the right-hand side at the top. We can use your help. It helps pay for the funding for everything else we do here, investigations, etc. And for those of you guys who don't like to go online and use the internet with credit cards, you can also make a donation if we'd appreciate it at P.O. Box 58146. That's P.O. Box 58146 right here in Louisville, Kentucky, 40268. For you guys that are new to the show, call our numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you folks in the listening queue, we appreciate you as always. There's a bunch of you usually there. Just make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad, and we will get you on air as soon as possible. And the chat room is now live, so if you would like to go in the chat room and be heard, please feel free to do so. You can sign in with your Facebook and your Twitter accounts if you prefer to sign in with social media. I tell you, there's we spent a lot of time this week talking about Alice in Wonderland Grimes. We spent some time last night pointing out that Hillary Clinton was in town and everything else. She's coming in to talk with, you know, try to stump on behalf of Alice in Wonderland Grimes. And I tell you, it's become comical anymore how far the Democratic Party will go. And yeah, Paul, she is a hot mess. But how far they would go, to lie and deceive the vote and the citizens in our country. You know, I mean, it's to the point, I actually got chastised earlier today because I brought up something nobody, you know, I coined a term today, or last night, I guess, you know, called suicide Ebola carriers. You know, we always hear about suicide bombers being promised to 27 virgins, according to, you know, Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden and all of that stuff. You know, it has really come to the point where this president and the Democratic Party basically are trying to convince us that the Republican Party and the GOP has intentionally planted the suicide Ebola carriers, you know, to destroy the black population, if you ask Jesse Jackson, you know, or to destroy voters so that they can't get the votes. I've never seen such an attack based on gibberish and lies in my life. I mean, this administration truly has no clue. You know, and we're going to get into that here shortly, but it was just really fascinating. I came under attack. I posted that comment on Facebook, and boy, you would be surprised at how many of these liberal left people are, you're sick and you're no good, blah, blah, blah. Folks, just pay attention. There is some sarcasm and humor in some things in this world. Not that I really care about being politically correct, but you guys really need to get a grip. They're having problems with that. It's called free speech, and I do political free speech all the time, so welcome to my world. As I mentioned, Hillary Clinton came into town last night to stump for Alice in Wonderland Grimes. I was even offered free tickets to go to this event because they couldn't get enough people to go. When you go to get a conservative media type and try to beg them to come and give them free tickets to attend, you're pretty desperate to have people when you're talking about a ultra-left liberal Democratic fundraiser for Alice in Wonderland Grimes. It was pretty amazing to me. I wasn't the only one. Apparently, I've gotten a lot of phone calls today because I mentioned it on air last night. I got a lot of phone calls today. People that are just your run-of-the-mill, grassroots, average, everyday Joes, you know, that were begged to show up and were offered free tickets to go to see Hillary speak, even though they were conservative GOP Republicans. So it was very, very comical. And I'm glad I didn't go because I really would have made a scene. I probably would have been arrested because I would have been laughing throughout her whole speech. But Alice in Wonderland Grimes introduced Clinton last night. You know, of course, Grimes spent, you know, her few minutes of fame trying to sit out there and trash McConnell, all these other different things. McConnell supposedly is the father of the government shutdown we had last year, which is a lie, folks. Do your research. President Barack Obama wanted a sequester as part of his government, and he got exactly what he asked for. So last year, because of the rules that Barack Obama asked for and got, we had a sequester. That wasn't Mitch McConnell playing obstructionist. That wasn't the GOP playing obstructionist. It was the Democrats trying to get political favor by blaming the GOP because the GOP gave them what they asked for and they couldn't handle it. That shouldn't be anything new, and I tell you why. So this lie about this was crazy. As we know, we told you last night that Clinton was going to try to talk bad and trash Mitch McConnell. And she did. She tried to trash Mitch McConnell on the sequester. She tried to trash him and say that he was threatening thousands of jobs. But here's the bigger kicker. I mean, she also went on to say that McConnell, you know, she was hitting McConnell because of his cock worship, you know, the Koch brothers. And yeah, I know it's not the Koch, but that's what we call him here. And, but the amazing thing is she also went after Mitch McConnell and accused him of jeopardizing national security and all of these different things. And the amazing thing is, we know that this is a lie. We told you guys last night that this is what she was going to do, even though we have proof that she doesn't really believe that. And that's the problem. Because Hillary Clinton went, we told you about this last night, Hillary Clinton was bragging about Mitch McConnell 4 years ago when she came into town. She gave a speech and talked about Mitch McConnell in 2010 right here. Her statement was that during the 8 years that she served in the Senate with Mitch, she was fortunate to find common cause and work with him on a number of foreign policy issues. She went on to talk about she was fortunate to work with him on human rights in Burma, legislation to support small businesses in Kosovo, promoting women and civil leaders in Afghanistan. Yes, Mitch McConnell was standing up for women, according to Hillary Clinton's own statement. You know, so all of these things, and of course she went in last night and tried to say that he was destroying America and that he has, you know, he was bad for foreign policy. But yes, she talks about how great and how appreciative she was to be able to work with such a fine man in a bipartisan way and all the good things he did, with foreign policy that would ultimately, you know, of course, help national security. It's a goon squad, folks. They don't have a clue what they're doing. They're clearly desperate. And there's all kinds of things on here. The whole cock worship, as we pointed out the other night, 22 billionaires are heavily funding both campaigns in this election, 13 of which, who include George Soros, you know, multi-billionaire George Soros, you know, but according to the Democrats, he's the little guy. But 13 billionaires out of 22 are giving all their money to the Democrats, the party, and the Democrat candidates. So, you know, please spare me these lies. What's fascinating is how many of these ultra-liberal left are actually believing this because they're too blinded or too lazy to get the truth. We did get one thing answered, though, last night. You know, on Thursday, Alice in Wonderland Grimes was interviewed with the Courier-Journal, and she denied us to have any knowledge of whether she had voted for Barack Obama or not. Of course she did. She was a delegate in 2012, for God's sake. Of course she voted for Barack Obama. She had no problem telling us she was a Clinton Democrat and proudly cast her vote for Hillary in 2008. Now, of course, Hillary is coming into town. Her and Bill Clinton are friends of her family, so they're basically going to lie to each other. But last night, she actually talked about being a Clinton Democrat. As we know, she's identified herself as a Clinton Democrat through and through. So when she was asked Monday night to explain the difference, the first thing that she did was that she said she noted the strong economic growth during Bill Clinton's presidency and that the distinction comes down to growing the middle class. So last night, she expanded on that a little bit. She said, being a Clinton Democrat is the recognition that when President Clinton left office, the nation's unemployment was at the lowest rate it had been in 30 years, the largest economic expansion that the nation had ever seen, with over 22 million good-paying jobs. And then, of course, she said people were reaching out bipartisan and working together across the aisle in a spirit of bipartisanship. You know, I don't know what this country would have ever done if not for Bill Clinton, the God. Except Alice in Wonderland Grimes did forget to mention one small problem here. During Bill Clinton's presidency, the Congress was controlled on both sides of the aisle by Republicans. The Republicans had the House and the Senate. They're the ones who put the spending bills out. They're the ones who created all of this. Bill Clinton, like every other Democrat in America these days, wants to take credit for everything good and then blame everybody else for everything bad. Bill Clinton didn't do anything as president worthwhile. The Congress passed all the laws. The Congress passed all the spending bills. And both House and Senate were controlled by Republicans. But Bill Clinton gets all this great credit for all the things that he supposedly did. Bill Clinton didn't have time to do anything. He was too busy trying to hide Monica Lewinsky's dress and trying to lie to Linda Tripp. Come on, folks, use your head. And it's fascinating how much of these idiots believe this. The sheep are alive and well. It's crazy to me. So that seems to be the biggest highlights from last night's speech. Mitch McConnell bad today. Doesn't know anything about foreign policy because he's jeopardizing national security. But yesterday, Hillary's claim, I'm a great fan of Mitch. Mitch has helped me tremendously. I'm so fortunate to have worked with him on all of this foreign policy stuff, especially after I became Secretary of State. Once again, a Clinton lying, speaking through both ends of their daggone mouth, trying to convince the world that there's something. Alice in Wonderland Grimes, of course, her daddy has given the Clintons all kinds of money. He's given Obama all kinds of money. That's the only money Grimes has, is from her daddy. And, of course, he's given Allison all kinds of money. You know, and we can still debate, well, you're lying now. Well, no, I'm not. I still think there's some serious ethical considerations when it comes to the bus and all the other stuff that he has spent on her behalf for this campaign. I still say that brings up plenty of questions, but personally, I'm not going to spend time trying to fight that fight right now. I've got too many things to fight here in Louisville as it is. But it's fascinating. All of these things are going on. All of these lies continue to grow. And nobody cares. We've got more lies coming out about this Ebola virus. And we're going to spend some time on that. Before I get to that, though, I want to tell you one quick story. If you think the media isn't biased and you think the media isn't in trouble, think again. Because all of these lies are perpetuated by the liberal left media, including PMSNBC, as our good friend Dale the Truth calls that organization. CNN, Fox News doesn't tell us everything either, so I'm not telling you I'm a Fox News fan. But it is interesting because the liberal left is complaining because Fox News, you know, continues to lead the way. Fox owns the viewership for real news stations. And it's so bad that CNN is cutting staff. CNN has to cut 300 jobs. So your Democrat policies are working for you, folks, because you own the liberal left CNN network, and you're going to put 300 people out of jobs and tell their families, sorry about your luck. Pretty cool, huh? But according to your liberals, they have all the secrets, right? An estimated 130 people have taken buyouts at CNN. They're going to lay off about 170. According to an executive who, of course, will not be named. It's interesting because CNN's crossfire is gone. It's going to be also interesting because Jane Velez Mitchell, who has a nightly show, is gone. They're both canceled because of the budget cuts. So here's a six-year program in Jane Velez Mitchell's show, completely gone. Here is Crossfire, completely gone. And what's really interesting is, you know, some of the people that were involved in those shows are staying, some aren't. But here, Jane Velez Mitchell, Hispanic, right, is one of the 12 people, once she lost her show, she's getting let go as part of the cut. So, do we care about Hispanic women, CNN? Do we care about the working Joe, CNN? The lies haven't perpetuated into new ad revenue. The lies haven't perpetuated anything more than staleness at the very best at CNN, at the very worst, hemorrhaging money. You don't pay off 300 people. So this is great to me. Thank you, CNN, for showing the whole world what we've been telling everybody for a long time. Your lies and your own personal agendas are going to get you in trouble. You can't afford a worker and you can't find a way to keep 300 jobs. You're a multi-billion dollar company, right? I bet your executives are going to get their bonuses. How many jobs would that save? And he'd sit here and say you care about women because some of the people that are being let go with some of the shows they've got gone, but others are being kept within the CNN framework. But you let Jane Velez Mitchell go once her show was cut, a Hispanic woman. So you tell me, CNN, liberal left, how much do you really care about the people you purport to represent? I found that story very, very interesting, and I thought you might too. I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to take a break. We're going to get into this Ebola lies and everything else that's going on right now with this, and this is going to take some time. So I'm going to take a break now before we get there, and if we get time, we're going to get back to Hillary Clinton as well towards the end of the hour. There's a whole lot of stuff guys are not really understanding about these people and the Clintons and their lies. A lot of information that has recently come to light, and we'll explain that hopefully later in the show. But stick around. We're going to get to Ebola and the liars from the Obama administration once again. We'll be right back. You're listening to the Ed Springer Show right on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Oh. Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
Welcome back to the Ed Springson Show, folks, right here at the MVM Radio Network. Don't forget, as always, call-in numbers are 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And for you guys on the listening queue, please hit that number one on your dial pad, and we'll get you on air as soon as possible. The chat room is open. You can sign in using your social media accounts if you'd like, with Facebook and Twitter. Or just kick, sit back, and enjoy the ride and listen to the show. Because I tell you, we're going into break, and I've already pointed out so many fallacies just in 20 minutes from the liberal left, the lies and the agenda. You know, it's always funny to me because it's so easy to show the hypocrisy of these clowns, and nobody on the liberal left cares about the truth. They really don't. Hillary Clinton is their next god, just like Obama was the god of the liberal left when he got elected president. They don't want to know the truth. They don't want to know that the person that they want to try to force into power doesn't have a clue, has lied to them for years and years and years. Hillary has been lying to the American people since Watergate. She should be in jail. Barack Obama should be impeached. He should be gone. But it's a scary thought, because if we impeach Barack Obama, then we're stuck with Joe Biden. That might be even worse, folks. I don't know. But the choices we've got are crazy, and it's getting to the point of being ridiculous. It really is. It really is. So we're looking at all of this stuff and everything else. Well, now we've got even more lies coming from the White House. President Barack Obama himself. There has been a cover-up, or an attempted cover-up, I should say, on the Ebola crisis, because, for one thing, I don't consider it a crisis when two people get sick. I really don't. Now, people say that that makes me pathetic, that I have no compassion, and that's not exactly true. But the way this White House is treating Ebola and treating all the warnings that they've been given since at least 2008, when Barack Obama was being prepped right before he was sworn in as president, is disturbing. They do not care. I mean, Barack Obama is basically using what I consider a contemptuous, I don't really care mentality and attitude towards Ebola, along the lines of what he was doing with Obamacare. I mean, think about these words. Think of me what you will. But Obamacare said, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. to me, his whole response in this, with the lies and everything else that had been done from everybody from the National Institute of Health on down, basically say, if you have Ebola, you can keep your Ebola. I mean, it's stupid. It's stupid. We now know that we have a second person, a Dallas nurse, Amber Vinson, who has contracted the Ebola virus. We knew this. We've talked about this yesterday. According to all the reports that were thrown out to us, Ms. Vinson developed symptoms of the virus after she returned to Texas on a commercial flight from Cleveland. From Cleveland. We were led to believe that there's no problems with anybody else who was on the flight because she did not show any symptoms before she got back to Texas and left the aircraft. It's a lie. Ms. Vinson herself, one of the nurses that treated Thomas Eric Duncan, the guy from Liberia who died of Ebola in Dallas earlier this month, Ms. Vinson herself said that she had a low-grade fever and everything else in Cleveland before she boarded the aircraft. And she wanted to make sure that she did the right thing. She actually contacted the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, and explained to them that she had worked with this Ebola patient, that she had a low-grade fever, and asked them if she should be flying or if they felt like she should stay off of the aircraft. And the CDC told her to go ahead. There was no risk. There was no risk. She's got a fever, and by CDC's own acknowledgement, when you're showing the symptoms is when you're contagious. She calls CDC and says that she's contagious. She's got a fever. And they say, it's okay, fly back to Dallas. Get her the hell out of Cleveland is the only thing I could figure they were thinking. So she was already sick when she got on the plane. But the government official said, that's okay. Now everybody is scrambling to find all the other passengers who were on the aircraft with Ms. Vinson. Last word I had was somewhere around 132 people. And then, of course, they're going to have to quarantine not only those people, but all of the people that those 132 other people came in contact with or got close to once they left the aircraft. I mean, we have created yet another victim. We did. We made Ms. Vinson a victim of the Ebola virus, and then we're blaming her for getting on the aircraft and flying anyway, once she did everything the right way and followed protocol and was told that it was okay by who? Oh, our government officials. This is disturbing. This is disturbing. We were lied to once again. We're trying to push that Ebola is this major crisis that's coming to America around the world. 4,500 people died of Ebola this year. 4,500 people. Most in Africa. We've had at least one expert go public and say that he's been studying Ebola for 11 years, and he's told the whole world, a doctor at Purdue University has told them repeatedly that the Ebola virus can be airborne. At first, the CDC and everybody was telling us that the only way you could get Ebola was to come in direct contact with bodily fluids. Blood, urine, saliva, that kind of a deal. Now I know if I'm sitting next to somebody on an airplane and they're sneezing, that's airborne fluid right there. The CDC said you could only get it coming in direct contact. Now they've come out in the last couple of days and said, well, if you're within 3 feet of somebody. In the meantime, we've had all this research. We've had all this research for many years now. And it's been ignored in the last 6 years by President Obama himself. But what do they do? They sit here and try to make funding for the CDC the problem. Well, the Republicans have cut all this funding for the Centers for Disease Control, so we haven't had the money to do all of this. What a joke. What a joke. Dr. Francis Collins, the head doctor at National Institute of Health, which oversees the CDC, complained Sunday night that budget cuts were to blame for the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, failure to produce a vaccine in time to beat this year's Ebola virus. They are now calling an epidemic. Two people is an epidemic, folks. We look at this. Over the last few days, we have heard the administration and the Democratic PACs and everybody else running these fictitious ads saying that the Republicans cut the funding at the CDC, when the reality is that the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last year pointed out the obvious, that the Republicans actually raised funding to the CDC by $527 million when the Obama administration in the 2013 budget wanted to cut the CDC budget by about $270 million. That's an $800 million swing, folks, from what the president wanted. And yet they're still trying to put out this fictitious lie once again that the Republicans are responsible for the Ebola virus because their funding was cut, and they're leading the way with Dr. Francis Collins, the head of the NIH. Well, Dr. Collins, I'm going to have to tell you this. Now, I don't know how smart you really are, and I would imagine that if you got through medical school, that may have been the only thing you've ever done in your life, because I have a hard time believing that as a doctor who is, you know, hands-on a doctor at that, who can sit here and actually calculate and find ways to determine what's wrong with people and get to the heart of symptoms to find out what you can do to help them feel better, misses the obvious here. And the obvious is that the National Institutes of Health funding was over $30 billion this year. Over $30 billion. Now, this doctor says they've had budget cuts. You know what the National Institutes of Health funding was just 14 short years ago in the year 2000? $17 billion. The NIH has almost doubled their budget in the last few years. But now that they've got caught with their pants down and not doing their job, now they want to say that it's budget cuts, and the Democrats are going to go out and lie and say it's Republicans when we know better. We know better because all spending originates in the House. We know better because the 2013 budget bill increased the funding that Barack Obama wanted to cut. Obama's own budget bill. I got to tell you, I also have some other serious problems with this. For example, Dr. Collins says that these tightening federal budgets are the problem and has contributed to their inability to produce an Ebola vaccine. Fair enough. And I'm going to put the link to this in you guys in the chat room. This is actually coming from the Daily Mail, because you can't get the real truth here on the mainstream liberal news here in the States. No, you can't do that. You got to go somewhere else, somebody who's not scared. So when we look at this so-called $30 billion, which is almost twice the budget, almost double the budget that they had just 14 short years ago, was too tight. They couldn't afford to produce an Ebola vaccine. Poor baby. Poor baby. But if you want to talk about why they couldn't afford it, let's look at some of the projects that the NIH has funded with grants. $2.4 million to develop what's called an origami condom. You guessed it. An origami condom that is designed with Japanese folding paper in mind. And how about the condom? How did that work out? Well, the Washington Free Beacon a couple of months ago reported that the origami condom creator, Daniel Resnick, has been accused of spending the grant money, the $2.4 million he was given for this origami Japanese paper condom research. I almost didn't get that whole thing out without laughing, guys. But apparently Daniel Resnick has now been accused of spending that money on an Amsterdam junket. He went to Amsterdam, bought himself a Cadillac, you know, paid for a party at the Playboy Mansion. That's a good use of our money, right, folks? But budget cuts cost the Ebola vaccine. $939,000 was spent to tell us that male fruit flies prefer to romance younger females because the girl fly's hormone levels drop over time. does that have anything to do whatsoever with the National Institutes of Health's mission? When it comes to us humans, if you're out in the dating world, most men will prefer younger women. Younger women typically do have higher hormones that make them more sexually active. This is not real smart with grant money, right? But Dr. Collins thinks it is because he's an intelligent man who's running the National Institutes of Health. So it's got to be the money, not the way we're spending it. So we've got all of this stuff. Additionally, Resnick, origami condom creator, Daniel Resnick, is under investigation for bypassing research protocols because he decided in his quest to design this organic condom that he was going to use his friends as the test subjects and ask them to tell him what happened after they tested it. So essentially, the way it reads to me is this. Daniel Resnick gets $2.4 million because he sells the ideas of this origami condom, and he takes all his best buddies on a private jet to Amsterdam so they can test it out with hookers in Amsterdam, and he comes back and throws a party at the Playboy Mansion because they had such fun. I don't get all of this, but that's what it sounds like to me. Am I right or wrong? And what's really fascinating here is the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, which is part of the National Institutes of Health, the NIH, was a sub-agency. They normally are the ones who fund vaccine research for Ebola, but they're the ones who gave Resnick the money to go party with the hookers. Yes, Cy, you probably are. Cy is in the chat room saying he's in the wrong line of work. I think you are, man. I think we both are. Then, of course, we had to have $325,000 spent to tell us that marriages are happier when wives calm down quicker during arguments with their husbands. I can't even believe that we spent a dollar even thinking that. Again, we know this crap. Why are we wasting money on that that doesn't do anything against infectious diseases? $257,000 was spent. You might find this one interesting. $257,000 was spent to make an online game. Pay attention to this now. You ready? To make an online game to complement Michelle Obama's White House garden. They created an online game as a companion to First Lady Michelle Obama's White House garden. So in other words, the Obamas gave $257,000 to a friend of theirs or somebody they owed. This is crazy. This is crazy. We spent money to monitor chimpanzees to see who had the best poop-throwing skills. I'm not making this up, folks. $592,000 grant from the NIH was spent to determine that chimps with the best poop-throwing skills are also the best communicators. What in the hell are we doing over there? Your tax dollars at work. You know, even university psychologist Bill Hopkins told Wired magazine, I've never in my life seen a chimp be given a banana for throwing shit at someone. And that's what your grant money went to. Over $500,000. This is the kind of crap that we're funding, folks. It just makes no sense to me. It makes no sense to me. And, of course, we all know about the infamous $832,000. We spent trying to get uncircumcised South African tribesmen into the habit of washing their genitals after they have sex. These are the stupid things that goes on. This is the stupid stuff that goes on. I'm waiting for somebody to give me a good answer as to why They're accepting these lies and these fallacies from the Democratic administration and the Democratic mafia, the liberal left, progressive socialist, communist Democrats. Why are the Democrats saying these folks lie so boldly like this? Why do they blindly follow? I just don't get it. I really, really don't. And it gets worse. And it gets worse. Because today, our illustrious Barack Obama did what I think is deplorable. And I think that if I was a military person today, I would defy this order. And I think you could lawfully do so. President Barack Obama issued an executive order today. This is according to NBC News, so it's a liberal source. Barack Obama issued an executive order today for the deployment of National Guard and Reserve forces to West Africa to help contain the Ebola outbreak there. Our soldiers are being sent into a virus to help contain a virus. They're not being sent for defense. They're not being sent for national defense. They're not being sent because we have an enemy with a gun pointed at us. No. They're being sent to West Africa to help contain the Ebola outbreak over there. Somebody explain to me how that is illegal. And a little-known story that nobody's really paying much attention to that goes along with that is just a couple of months ago, Barack Obama signed yet another executive order allowing illegal immigrants to serve in the military. That alone is about as impeachable as it gets, because illegal immigrants are not allowed to have weapons. And our president says, if you're an illegal immigrant, go join the military. We'll give you a weapon. What in the hell is going on in this country, and why in the hell are we allowing that to go on, period? It's disturbing to me. I don't know why it's not disturbing to the rest of this nation. We are going to arm illegal immigrants right here at home. It's bad enough that we created ISIS. It's bad enough that we created Al-Qaeda. It's bad enough that we created Saddam Hussein. It's bad enough that we even created Fidel Castro, Manuel Noriega. We always send weapons in, and we always finance these people who come back to haunt us. But at least ultimately, at the end of the day, whether we like it or not, we typically are fighting these fights over on their soil, not on American soil, not jeopardizing American lives and American civilians. It might sound cold and cruel, but welcome to war. And yet somehow, we're going to let illegal immigrants join our military and give them arms, which is a clear violation of every law, anything you can possibly imagine. And this president is not under impeachment for that. Now we're going to order our National Guard troops and reserve members to go overseas to West Africa and put them in harm's way, telling them you're basically giving these guys a death sentence. You got a 50-50 shot of dying over there in a short amount of time, and not a bullet is going to be aimed at you. That's not their job. That's not their job. If I was the National Guard, if I was the military right now, I would stand down. They told them to stand down in Benghazi, right? Hillary Clinton had everybody killed. And I don't care what anybody says about that. I will never forgive her for that. We've got evidence of that from Leon Panetta. We'll talk about that in a minute. But you know, we're going to send our soldiers overseas so they can get sick and die or come back here as a suicide Ebola carrier that the Democrats want us to believe are happening, because the Democrats are the ones creating them if they want to go down that road. When you're sending National Guardsmen and reserves over there, Then you bring these guys back here, let them pass it to their families, to their school children, everything else. If Ebola is indeed the threat that they want us to believe it is, then why has that threat been ignored for so long? Why did Barack Obama ignore everything for the last 6 years he's been told? Why is he putting Americans in harm's way over Ebola, knowing that it is airborne, even though he lied to the American people, keeps trying to say it's not? They are on a free fall right now in the Democratic Party, trying to lie about everything. They have created victims that they now blame for everything. And Ebola is no exception. We have to look at all this, folks. I know it's hard. Nobody wants to sit here and think about all of this. But we really, really have to. You know, because we are continuing to get this kind of garbage. We are continuing to get this kind of, well, I'm just going to say no leadership. I don't even know a better way to put that these days. We are continuing to fall further and further behind in the world, and we are fast approaching third world status right here in America because of the decisions that are being made or not being made that should be. If you can't see today that there is a clear agenda to bring down America, what in the hell is it going to take? What in the hell is it going to take? I mean, the question really truthfully becomes, do we even have a constitution anymore? Does anybody care? Seriously. Seriously. We have to think about that. I mean, we found out last night, appeals judge was overturned because she made some racist comments. I'll see if I can find that story. Made some racist comments about the Anglos, you know, and the Texas voter ID laws. The Anglos were trying to keep the Hispanic and blacks from being able to vote in Texas. And the appeals court overruled her. Of course, they left the Texas voter ID laws in place. You check out last night's show. I'm not going to rehash all of that. But it's fascinating because we have to ask ourselves, does the Constitution still matter? And, you know, and crazily enough, some of us still believe it does. But the politicians don't. I don't think the Uniparty cares. I don't think they care at all. You know, Ben Franklin said when they gave us a republic, you know, it's a great thing if you can keep it. If you can keep it. The Constitution is supposed to limit these government powers, and nothing is being limited. If the Constitution gets in the way, the president signs an executive order, and nobody is challenging any of that. Everybody wants to talk about the right, the GOP, the Republicans, the right-wing conservatives. Well, I'm not being a complete ass here, but they're just as guilty as a liberal left. I mean, let's think about this. Really, truthfully, let's think about this. Let's look at obscenity laws. The Republicans don't want porn, but this is a republic and freedom, right? But they choose to make silly stuff like that issues at election time. They choose to play the Christian, ultra-Christian, right-wing Christian conservative card at election time. But Bill Clinton ain't the only one getting blowjobs, people. Let's just be real frank about that. It's a two-way street on both sides of the equation. These are just the endless silly hypocrisies that will continue to divide us so that Barack Obama can send troops over in a virus-infected country to act like they're doing something. They're not protecting anything over there. He's sending troops over there to help build a hut to throw a couple of beds in. And a friend of mine was talking to me earlier and brought up Rush Limbaugh today because in 2008, when Barack Obama was getting ready to assume the presidency, he was briefed on Ebola, and the CDC recommended to him at that time that he had to have 18 centers around the world exclusively to deal with this. The numbers I have is 5. That's all they've got. According to Rush Limbaugh today, and my friend was telling me about, They really only have four. The total number of beds in these four centers for Ebola patients add up to 11. 11 total number of beds to take care of Ebola patients. What's going to happen with this epidemic, folks? These people are going to have to go to the hospitals. These hospitals are full of crap anyway. These hospitals are no longer clean. Staph infections are common now. They didn't used to be. But these microbes have developed a resistance to something as simple as bleach, which is what they used to use to clean. It killed everything. Not anymore. And we continue putting, you know, people have no business being in. I mean, let's look at Elena Kagan, Obama's Supreme Court pick. I think Senator Tom Coburn asked a very relevant question a while back. He said, if I wanted to sponsor a bill and it said, Americans, you have to eat three vegetables and three fruits every day, does that violate the Commerce Clause? Kagan refused to answer a simple question. Of course it violates the Commerce Clause. Your job as Supreme Court justice is to uphold the law, not to write the law. She wouldn't answer the question. She dodged the question. And what happened? Oh, well, wait a minute. Once Kagan got on the court, she was part of the 5-4 majority who decided that the government can force us to buy something much more expensive than fruits and veggies. Obamacare can force us to buy health insurance and that kind of crap all day long. Now, I'll tell you what you probably already know and are going to keep me up anyway, but yes, that story came from Fox News, and I just put a link in the chat room for you. These are the problems we have. But every great now and then, we get a glimmer of hope. A glimmer of hope. There's a fantastic, over an hour-long interview with Edward Snowden circulating around YouTube and the Internet you guys really need to go listen to. He goes into detail about what he was doing and why. If you want to talk about a real patriot, somebody who deeply cares about the Constitution, I would recommend you listen to this, and I would probably nominate Edward Snowden. It's fascinating to me that we have these so-called whistleblower laws that will protect government employees, but Edward Snowden, at the time he released all of this stuff, was working for a private contractor who was securing all this information illegally on behalf of the government. So we have to look at all of that. We have to look at all of that. He wasn't granted whistleblower protection because he wasn't an executive with the company. If he would have been an executive with the company, he would have gotten the whistleblower lawsuit protection, and he wouldn't be over in Russia right now worried for his safety. He'll never be safe again in his life. But then we have other stories that give us hope. And here's one of those stories over at BenSwan.com. Yes, this story is in the chat room as well. Nashville police last year, in 2013, Nashville police were called to come to a house because Secret Service agents had went to a home in the Nashville Police Officers District to challenge a local resident who had allegedly posted threatening comments about Obama on Facebook. Allegedly posted threatening comments about Obama on Facebook. Well, according to Nashville Police Chief Williams, he sent a report in to the Secret Service, and now the news has it and everything else. But Secret Service agents were working out of the Nashville field office, and they went to this guy's house who made the postings and knocked on his door. The guy didn't give him time of day. So the Secret Service agent called the Nashville police and asked for backup, and they stated that this individual was refusing to let them in without a warrant, and he appeared to be armed. Perfectly reasonable, right? No warrant, no entrance. Well, the Nashville police get there. They tell the Secret Service agents that the man in question appears to be armed because he's a licensed gun owner. He has not violated the law. And if they want to take that any further in their investigation, then they stood with the resident and said the Secret Service would be required to get a warrant in order to investigate further. So what did the agents do? Oh, they didn't say thank you for your time. We'll go get that warrant because they didn't have any legal right to be there. There was nothing for them to do. So they decided they wanted to go ahead and try to lie. They tried to talk the Nashville police sergeant into standing there because he apparently knew the resident, into standing there waving a piece of paper in the air to act like he was waving a warrant so that the guy would open the door and let them in. The Nashville police sergeant refused to violate his oath of office, and he refused to violate the rights of that citizen. He flatly refused, and he left the scene, and the Secret Service agents could not do a diddly squat. How pathetic is that? We hear all of these things about the Nashville police, or not the Nashville police, but police in general, all the bad things. Here you've got the Federal Secret Service agents sitting there trying to harass an innocent homeowner because they were offended by something he might have said about Obama on Facebook. Are you serious? And then they know they're not within their rights. They know that they're violating the law. They try to involve the Nashville police sergeant and try to make him pretend he has a warrant so the guy opens the door and then it's not unlawful entry. We hear all of these bad things about police. You know what? It's incredible to me because we continue to get different situations, and this is for the Nashville police. I think that Nashville police sergeant should be given some sort of a medal, and the Nashville police chief should be rewarded as well because he didn't let this go. He sided with his officer because his officer sided on the law, and Chief Anderson should be awarded as well for standing up for the right thing. Of course, it didn't come without repercussions, right? Because right after that happened, Secret Service agents were preparing and providing security for Michelle Obama to visit Nashville. And the Nashville police were, of course, not invited to assist them in providing security. So I don't know how much money it cost them, but, you know, that's the way it is. Paul in the chat room, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Why not the SS? Paul says Obama used the IRS against his opponents. Why not the Secret Service? You know, that's exactly it. Is this Nazi Germany? People have been offended because we have compared Obama to Hitler. He has been compared to Hitler on a few occasions. But is it not becoming more and more apparent that that's exactly what we're dealing with? I mean, we're using everything. We're using the federal government, the long arm of the law, to violate the law, to stifle Americans' freedoms and rights. We're creating all kinds of havoc that's allowing them, we're working towards a point where they're going to seize control and seize power and take to the streets, and your government, we're going to be living in a third world country, and we might as well get used to seeing tanks and everything else running around your public and private roads in your neighborhoods. The United States of America is fast approaching a police state. There's no doubt about it. Anybody that thinks that that's a lie or that's wrong, you know, go back to smoking your weed and shooting up your heroin. Seriously. Because you're clearly on drugs. If you can't see what's going on right in front of your face, you're in denial or you're on drugs. I can't make that any cleaner. I can't make that any clearer. I keep thinking of Nazi Germany. And I can't help that. And a few years ago, when everybody was making this comparison between Obama and Hitler and the Democratic Mafia, I was one of the ones who gave them the benefit of the doubt. I can no longer give Obama and this regime the benefit of the doubt. We do not have a strong working republic, folks. We have a socialist agenda with a socialist in charge that is destroying this country. And until each of us gets involved in a process and starts holding these leaders, so-called leaders, I should say, accountable on both sides of the aisle, accountable to their lies, we will not be able to move forward and become a nation to be feared and loved around the world again. It's just the way it is. We are allowing ourselves to be destroyed from within. And that's exactly how you do it. That's exactly how you do it. You destroy people from within. You create doubt. You create fear. Then you sit back and watch the masses tear themselves up. What are we doing as a society right here in the United States of America? Stand up and be counted, folks. That's it for tonight. Ken Molman will be here Sunday night at 7 o'clock with his unique brand of Liberty Unbridled. And you want to make sure you check that out. I, of course, will return on Monday night with the next edition of the Ed Springsteen Show. And don't forget, you can check out all the podcasts and everything else right here at BTR, or you can check them out at LouisvillePolitics.com. But if you want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, come to us, baby, Sunday through Thursday at 7 o'clock right here on the NVM Radio Network. We'll take care of it. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. Thank you so much for joining in.